Sue, I see you're here. Nice of you to join us. I haven't seen you for a while. So this morning, I'm going to be talking about hearing from God, which I'm a bit worried about because I don't really feel qualified to talk on this subject, but I felt God put it on my heart, and he put it on my heart before I knew Joe was going to be doing some sessions this evening and for the next few weeks on hearing God, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. But if you think that hearing from God is really just for the apostles and prophets in biblical times, you're wrong. If you think God only speaks to spiritual giants like Billy Graham, who just recently got called home, you're wrong. If you think God only speaks to his favourites, well, you're right and wrong. Wrong, he doesn't have favourites, but right, because if he did, it would be you. Thank you. Your name's gone completely out of my head. Sharon. Sorry, Sharon. I'm not known for my name, so I get everyone's names wrong. I'm in the youth club, and everyone's got a nickname just because they can't remember their real name. I mean, the same Holy Spirit that was in Billy Graham is in you. The same one. And if you don't think God, if you ask Jesus into your life, then guess what? He came in. And if you don't hear him, it's not that he's not talking to you, it's not that you're not listening. So that's what I want to talk about this morning, hearing God. Let's just pray, shall we? Lord Jesus, thank you that we can hear your voice. Thank you for the privilege of hearing your voice. And Lord, teach us how to hear you and how to discern your voice. We want to see your glory. We want to respond. We don't just want to hear your voice. We want to be obedient to it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, I was coming back from work. I work at Yeovil Hospital. And there was, I go the back way. I don't like going the motorway. So I was going through Ilchester, Lights Carey, Charlton Mackerel, Glastonbury, Wedmore, home, Compton Bishop. And I was just going through Charlton Mackerel. The first time ever down this country lane, I saw a speed camera. And I've never seen a speed camera there before. It's in the middle of nowhere. But anyway, I thought I'd do the kind thing. So as cars were coming towards me, because it's pointing the direction I was going, I flashed cars and I gave that sign that you have, you know, slow down. And a couple of them gave me thumbs up and a little wave to say thank you. They knew something was up and they slowed down. But then a van came speeding round the corner. It wasn't Duncan, in case you're wondering. And he gave me a different type of hand signal and a loud beep on my horn. And I could see he sped up. He obviously thought I was probably from the village and thought I was just wanting people to slow down, because there's always signs saying slow down. So he sped round the corner faster than he was going before. I have to confess, I did experience a little bit of joy. But and I'm sure he got a flash. I'd love to have seen his expression as he saw this camera. But anyway, the whole point was that he didn't recognize what I was doing because he wasn't in a relationship with me. There was no communication. He didn't know who I was. And so he didn't understand the signal what I was giving. So he got himself into a whole load of trouble. And it's the same with us. If we're not in a relationship with God, we can't hear him, can we? How can we hear from God if we're not in a relationship with him? And I don't know about you, but I want to hear God for myself. I don't want to hear God through other people. I don't want other people to say, I've got a word for you. I love that, of course, don't get me wrong. But I also want to hear God for myself, not just through other people who I feel are walking more closely with God. I want to have that relationship with God that means that I'm hearing his voice for me. So that when I'm walking down the street, I might be in a rush, but I want to be able to hear that voice, that quiet voice that says, Mark, see that man over there, I want you to tell him about me and give him £100. Well, I don't want to hear him say, give him £100 too often. But I do want to hear his voice, and I do want to be obedient. If that's what he tells me to do, then I'll do it. I'll give him £100. I want to hear God for myself. Now, how do we hear God's voice? Well, in John 10:15, it's written, I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. And the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger because they run from him, because they don't know his voice. And if we jump to John 10:27, it's written, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Those few words, there's four things that come out. Number one, we are his sheep. Number two, we can hear his voice. Three, he knows us. Thank you, Sharon. And we follow him. So we have it in black and white. We can hear his voice. Remember, every word in the Bible is divinely put into place. If we don't believe the Bible, we might as well put it in the bin or go home. Every word in the Bible is true, and that's why we're here. In biblical times, shepherds had a much closer relationship with their sheep than what we do now. I'm sure it's not nothing against Tony. I'm sure he's a very good shepherd. I'm sure it's a coincidence that most of the sheep die. But but in those days, shepherds were so close to their sheep that they would be able to call out individual sheep and they would come to the shepherds. And at night, all the shepherds would come together and they'd put them all into a big pen, maybe 10 of them. They'd take it in turns. One of them would lie in front and the others would go home or go to an inn. And in the morning, all the shepherds would come forward and call out their sheep. There would maybe 1,000 sheep in a pen. They would call out their 100. Only their sheep would come. The sheep knew the shepherd's voice. And they wouldn't go to another shepherd because the relationship was such that they spent all day with their sheep rearing them. They were so close to the sheep, they recognized the shepherd's voice. And the interesting thing is that you can be in the pen and not belong to the shepherd. You belong to a different shepherd. You can be a really good person. You can go to church, read the Bible, floss, and flash your headlights at the cars and get speeding tickets. But only by confessing and repenting of your sins are you saved. And asking Jesus into your life, you've got to place your faith in him. Now, I don't have a sheep example, but I do have a cow example. I used to work on a farm, and I had a favourite calf called Freckles. And every lunchtime for about 3 months, I played with this calf. And he would come bounding over when he recognised my voice. And I'd climb in the pen, and we'd play with each other. The calf would push against my shoulder and I'd push the calf and we would have lots of fun. The farmer thought I was a bit mad, but he soon didn't think I was so mad, because one night the calves were a bit, as they got older, they put out to grass and they broke into a field full of sugar beet. Sugar beet is a bit like a big swede, and you grow it mostly for the cattle to eat in the winter as extra fodder, as addition to silage. So he has grown this crop, and all the heifers that Freckles was in as well was in this field trampling all the sugar beet. And I got a phone call about 11 o'clock at night from the farmer. He said, Mark, can you come over? I really need some help. The calves are trampling over all the crop. And he'd been trying for hours and hours to get them out. I turned up. You know, I must admit, it was my finest hour. And opened the gate, and he was beginning to give up all hope, and I just stood at the gateway, all bleary-eyed, shouted, Freckles! He came bounding over, and all of them followed like sheep straight out of the field. Farmer just stood there with his jaw dropped, thinking I was some sort of Pied Piper. It was amazing, and nothing's been quite as good as that moment. So, thing is, that the calf recognized my voice and was obedient to her master. Now, there are many ways of which we can hear God according to the world. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Every other God is dead. You can find them for yourself if you want to. I suggest you go to the museum. You find them made out of wood and stone, but they're all totally useless. If you go and find our God, you won't find him in any museum. if you go to Jerusalem and go to his tomb, you'll find a sign on the outside that says he is not here. And that's true, for he is risen and lives forevermore. If you look in Romans 1:20, it's written, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse." I've never really noticed that till I saw that the other week. Of course, I know it really well, that passage, but it just stood out, that last little bit, "so that people are without excuse." So I'm really sorry, if you believe in evolution, you're totally wrong. God made the world. And, wow, that's really powerful. You are without excuse. Because creation is all around us. And it is, we can see it. We can see it in the sun, the moon, the stars, the mountains, the streams. We can see it all. It's all beautiful. It's perfect. It's amazing. And whether you're a believer or unbeliever, we all enjoy God's creation. But I want more than just general revelation of God's glory. You know, it's beautiful, isn't it? And it's beautiful our view and where we live. But I want more than just being able to see general revelation. I want to know God's plan for my life. In 2 Corinthians 14, it's written, "The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness. I cannot understand them because they are discerned because they are discerned only through the Spirit." So people who are not in a relationship with God considers our ways foolishness. That driver who didn't understand my signal when I flashed didn't understand what I was trying to do. He thought I was just a fool. But when you're born into God's family, when you're adopted into his family, and we are in a relationship with him, we are his sheep. We're his sheep. And we can hear his voice. I've been a Christian for as long as I can remember. I was at boarding school in North Devon. And I went when I was 13. And I was a Christian there. And But I wasn't baptized. Of course, being a good Baptist. As a baby, I was... But I didn't have baptism classes at school. Then had confirmation classes, so I was baptized and confirmed all at the same time, so I know it's a bit weird, but anyway, that's what happened. And my dad, when I was 15, bought me a little New Testament, this little book here. I was hoping for a more expensive gift, really, but anyway, I treasure it, this little New Testament, and I always kept it in my blazer next to my heart, all through school. It was on my 16th birthday, and I was looking forward to going to chapel because we would take it in turns, those who were Christians, to walk behind the headmaster. Chapel was compulsory. Missed it three times, you got caned. Seriously, you got caned. I did get caned a few times, actually, but anyway, not for missing chapel. And I would have to walk down next to the headmaster. The headmaster would walk down, and I'd walk behind him with a candle. And you'd have to sort of do the special walk, and there'd be somebody else there as well. And there was a special name for that person. I can't remember what it is. Anyway, I was looking forward to carrying the candle behind the headmaster. But that morning, I was in my study. I shared a room with about six other boys. They had all gone. I was running a bit late. And this is the only time in my life when I've heard God speak audibly to me. And he said, "Mark, you're not to go to chapel today." That's the only time God has spoken audibly to me. And I didn't question it, and I stayed in the chapel, and I didn't know why. I stayed in my room, but I didn't go to chapel, and I didn't know why. But I do remember distinctly feeling God really, really close to me. So I was just in my study, just praising God, walking around, praising God. And then Mr. Lane, the housemaster, came in and said, "Mark, I'm glad you're here. You're not to go to chapel today." Well, I was going to be late anyway, if I was going to go, but... "And your sister's coming to see you." So I instantly knew something was wrong. One, why wasn't he cross? Two, why was my sister coming to see me? You know, besides the fact that God had told me not to go. God was preparing me for what was going to come. And my sister turned up, all bleary-eyed, and I knew something terrible had happened. And it wasn't until we were halfway home did I want to ask my sister what had happened, because I just wanted to remain in that position of not knowing couldn't hurt me. And eventually I asked what had happened, and I found out that my dad had been lost at sea and he'd been drowned with three others in a storm in the English Channel. What was wonderful, though, was that God, in his kindness, prepared me for what was going to happen. The one time he chose to speak to me audibly was a time he probably thought I needed to hear him most. And rather than being angry with God, I just remember that kindness of him preparing me and being close to me. And I felt, looking back, that his arms were around me as I was hearing this terrible news. And I was only able to do that and experience his kindness because I was in a relationship with him. So, God is always speaking to us. The fact that we can't hear him isn't because he's not speaking to us, it's because we're not listening. You know, we have lots of physical senses, don't we? We can feel, see, touch, hear and smell. But we have spiritual senses as well. Spiritual eyes, spiritual ears. But we can only use them if we're walking closely with the Lord. And the one who does not expect to hear from God will discount it every single time it does. They will say it's just their opinion or a coincidence, their own ideas. And unless we have an expectation and eagerness to hear from God, every time God turns up in your life, we will just ignore it and discount it. You see, when you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and you ask Jesus into your life, he comes in. The Holy Spirit is not a wind, he's not a fire, he's not a ghost or a dove. The Holy Spirit is the third person in the Trinity, not third because he's least. Third because he was the last to be revealed to us in Scripture. That's all. He has all the fullness, all the glory, all the power is in the person of the Holy Spirit. So when you ask the Holy Spirit into you, all the fullness, all the glory, all the power are in you also, aren't they? And he resides in you. And you become a new creation. The only thing is, there's a battle, isn't there, between the flesh in us and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And it means there can be some warring. In Romans 7:15, it's written, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. So even Paul had that warring inside of us. I know I have it inside of us. The good news is the Holy Spirit is sanctifying us. Sanctifying means to be set apart, to be made holy. And the good news is it's not our job to be holy. We can really try. We can sort of stand there and go, I'm going to be holy, but it won't work. We can't be holy. There's nothing we can do to make ourselves holy. That is all the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is continually at work, sanctifying us and making us more like him. I don't know about you, but there used to be some films that I used to enjoy, but I don't really quite enjoy them quite as much as I used to. That's the Holy Spirit saying, I don't want you to do that. When I'm talking about someone and I might be gossiping and sometimes I just feel it right here. It's the Holy Spirit saying, stop. You're grieving my spirit. You're dishonoring that person. Stop. I'm slowly being transformed into his likeness. And there's that, you know, that time of transition. And in Psalm 37:4, it's written, take delight in the Lord and he'll give you your heart's desire. Now, I once thought, you know, perhaps he might give me a brand new car and everything that I really wanted. But that's not what this passage really means. What it means is, if we take delight in the Lord, our will be aligned to his. Which means that everything that God wants us to do, we want to do also. So what we're really doing is just praying what God already wants. It's just like straight up and down. Because if we're delighting in the Lord, we're only wanting the thing that the Lord wants. That's what it means. So when we're walking closely with the Lord and we ask for our heart's desire, we're asking for things that God wants to give us anyway. So it's easy. One thing that when God talks to us, it isn't, it's not our conscience. God, our conscience isn't God talking to us. But God does refine our conscience to be more like him. And he uses our conscience. But at least that's what I think. I think our conscience is there. Everyone has one, whether you're a believer or not. But as we get transformed, our conscience also becomes transformed. But God speaks to us in different ways. I'll come on to that in just a moment. But it is important that when we hear God's voice, we test it. Because in Corinthians 2:11-14, it says, Satan transformed himself into an angel of light. So as Christians, we're not trying to discern between good and evil. We're trying to discern between good and almost good. Aren't we? Good and almost good. Because the enemy is transforming himself as an angel of light. So how do we discern when the enemy is trying to tell us something which is almost right but not right? And I mentioned that last time I preached about God, the enemy might want me to spend all my time doing things that almost seem right, like spending my whole time cutting the neighbor's hedges, which would be, sounds like almost right maybe, because that's a really kind thing to do. But what it means is that I'm not doing what God wants me to do. I'm wasting my time doing hedges, which sound really nice because I'm helping my neighbors, but it's not what God wants. So that's what we need, why we need to discern, because it's between good and almost good. And how do we do that? Well, once someone asked Reese Howells, how do you recognize God's voice? You probably always hear me bang on about Reese Howells because he's one of my heroes of mine. He died at the last of the end of the 19th century, beginning of the 20th. A great man of God and of intercessory prayer. He just answered, well, you recognize your mother's voice, don't you? Now, it sounds like a flippant reply, but deadly serious, because Reese Howells walked so closely with the Lord, he recognized the difference between good and almost good. We need to know exactly who is speaking to us. We need to hear that voice, and not just hear it, but obey it. Because God doesn't speak to us just so we can hear it and say, oh, thanks, God, that's lovely. He speaks so that we obey. So how do we actually hear God? Well, I did mention the audible voice that I once heard when God said, Mark, you're not to go to chapel today, but that's the only time. I don't think many Christians very often hear God in an audible voice. God can, of course. All things are possible, but that's not normally how he chooses to speak to us. If you're waiting to hear God, and you might think, well, I'm only going to listen to God if I hear him audibly, then you're missing out on everything that God has for you, because he doesn't normally talk to us that way. So he might be discounting other things. So one way is, I believe that we have spontaneous thought, particularly if you're feeling close to God at the time. Spontaneous thought. You do need to be careful, and it will never contradict Scripture. But spontaneous thought is the way that we can hear God. We can also hear Scripture, hear God through Scripture. As you're reading a passage, something might just leap out or burns in your heart. That can be the way that God can speak to you. And sometimes, and by the way, and that's why we really need to be very familiar with our Bibles, because the more we're familiar with them, the more the Holy Spirit can pour his light upon different passages if we know the Bible. And we can receive a word as someone comes. Shama brought a word today. And that's wonderful. We need to make sure, though, that the word never contradicts Scripture and always glorifies the Lord. And if someone's got a big word for you, God will normally confirm it. God wouldn't really expect you to make a life-changing decision on the word from one person. It has to fit comfortably within your spirit, and you'd wait for confirmation from another person. So we can hear God through spontaneous thought, passages in Scripture that come to your head, your heart burning as you read the Bible, and a word from other Christians, but not exhaustive, of course. There's audible way that God speaks to us sometimes, maybe through journaling, seeing things in nature. But for me, the key way that God speaks to me is through spontaneous thought, Scripture that people give to me, Scripture that I'm reading, and the Word. So What I've really just done is given quite a short overview of hearing from God and how I hear from God. But if you want to go into this much more deeply, Joe, who's sat in the... Joe, do you want to give everyone a wave? So Joe's doing a course for how many weeks?
4 weeks.
Okay, so first one's tonight at 6 to 8. So I'm going to go. I'm really excited to hear what Joe's going to be sharing and exploring more deeply how we can hear God for ourselves. So really excited about the course. And if you want to find out more, talk to Joe, or, excuse me, just turn up here.
Yeah, yeah.
Just turn up. So, just remember that God loves you. You're his favourite. He wants to talk to you, but we must listen to him. We must listen to a still, small voice. We just pray. When I pray, I'm going to use the word me, but just use that word for you, if it applies to you also, and just echo the prayer in my heart, in your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I am completely overwhelmed that you know me and that you want a relationship with me. Lord Jesus, you are the first and the last and the beginning and the end. You are the keeper of creation and the creator of all. You are the architect of the universe. You always was, always is, and always will be. You are unmoved, unchanged, and undefeated. You were bruised, but you brought healing. You were pierced, but you eased pain and suffering. You were persecuted, but you bring freedom. You were dead, but you were raised up and bring life. You are the way, the truth, and the life, and you reign on high. You are the light, and you are Lord of all. You are holy and righteous and powerful and pure, and your will is always right, and your will is unchanging. Your word is true, and yet your mind is set on me. Lord Jesus, I cannot believe that you know me. And that you love me. I cannot believe that that a God as great as you has your mind set on me. Lord Jesus, thank you that you know me. Thank you that you want a relationship with me. Lord Jesus, I love you. And help me to get better at hearing your voice. Help me to recognize your voice as your sheep. Please have your way with me, Lord, and dwell in my heart. And help me to fall more deeply in love with you. In Jesus' name. I pray. Amen.